nervous, boy. He done opened his Bible. This is the way it ought to be. This is the way that it's supposed to be. To worship, we're not be in no hurry. To let the Lord have his way. Amen. And let God be God. Psalm 11 and 3, as you remain standing for the reading of the word. One preacher said, you shout and sing an hour, I'll preach an hour. I ain't going to do you like that. But I got a word this morning I want to share with you. If the foundation, Psalm 11 verse 3, be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Father, we are overwhelmed by your presence. Father, you have without a doubt touched us here today. And I believe for those that were ready to receive, hearts have been healed. Lives have certainly been touched, Lord. Lord, you know what we have need of today. Lord, you've exceeded, I believe, even our expectations. Now, Father, I pray, God, anoint these lips of clay. Let me speak on your behalf this morning, God. Help me to be careful. Cover us all with the blood of Jesus. Open our ears. Father, we pray, God, this morning you receive the glory and that no flesh will glory in your presence. And all that's said and done, it'll bring glory to you, because it's not about our singers, our musicians, our preachers. It's not about our organization. It's not about our denomination. It's about the great God of heaven. We've come here to adore, to worship, to bow before. We love you and we praise you. And everybody said amen as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, we didn't take an offering up, but you can put it in the back or stick it up here when you get done. God bless you. Mail it. Do it online. Amen. We'll take it, whatever. I went to a church fundraiser one time, and the man was lifting the offering up, and he said, I'm here. I've got one job. And he said, that is to separate you from your money, and that is not my hope today, but we do want you to give. We did miss a Sunday this month, and we do want you to give. How many of you glad to be back in the house of the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I do want to preach this, okay? And I won't stay as long as I probably normally would have preached, but I want to share with you that God birthed in my heart a message coming out of the book of Psalms. And I don't believe that the Lord could have laid any better a foundation for the preaching of the word than the worship, the praise, the adoration that has been lifted up in this building this morning. How many of you are glad to be a part of the last day church? And I believe that we're a part of the church that will see the coming of the Lord. Do you really believe that, Brother Bateman? Yes, I do, because I believe that the signs are all around us. Amen. I know people say, well, it's been bad before, but I believe that it's going to be ramped up. I believe that the attacks are going to come from every quarter. I just recently read this week that a church out in California was bombed because they preached and believed in same-sex marriage, and they had made some remarks and so forth and preached about that, and it made somebody mad. But let me tell you something right now. When you preach the truth of God's word, it's never going to be popular, but it still has to be preached, amen, because if the wicked, amen, rule, amen, the Bible said the people mourn, but the word of the Holy Ghost told us this morning, our time of mourning is over and we are to rejoice, amen. God just came by this morning to remind the church that he's still in control, amen, and that he can calm the raging sea, amen. But see, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I can tell you what we can do. We can keep on praising the Lord. We can keep on magnifying him, amen. Now, don't get tired here now, amen. It's still 3 hours away from your nap time.
Don't get tired yet, amen. Let's get in here and let's let the Lord have his way and speak to our heart. I'm going to tell you, there is such a move afoot now in this last evil day that we live in to undermine the foundation of the church. But I'm so glad this morning that the rock that we stand on is a sure foundation, amen. The chief cornerstone, amen. And he said upon that rock and that cornerstone, he would build the church and the gates of hell would not prevail. Somebody help me. See, our society rests upon how order is maintained. Now, I'm glad I don't live out there in Seattle, Washington, and Portland where there's just that crowd just gets ready to burn something down, tear something up. They do it. Aren't you glad you live out here in good old Beaufort County? And thank God, I believe our sheriff and our law enforcement would jump right on of that. You know why? Because order has to be maintained. Because whenever order is not maintained and the laws of society are not obeyed, amen, and there's not some sort of foundation that we all count on, then all chaos will break out. But I'm here to tell you today, amen, that the word of the Lord still stands sure, amen. If the government comes down on us, amen. How many of you know that in the communist China there is an underground church that is illegal throughout the entire country, and millions upon millions attend churches on a regular basis? It cannot stop the church. A communist government can't stop it. A socialist government can't stop it. A fascist government can't stop it. A liberal Democratic president can't stop it. We serve a true and the living God, and there is nothing too hard for the God that we serve. Now, society rests upon how that order is maintained. We keep order in our houses for the most part. Our children know that there are certain boundaries that they cannot cross. See, I was raised a little different than some of y'all. When my daddy spoke, I didn't talk back. Now, if mama got on us a little bit, we might have got a little sassy unless daddy was around. Y'all help me out now. So, but whenever daddy was gone and he drove truck for a long time and he would come back home after being gone for about a week, mama said, "I'll get you boys now." She would list all the deeds that we had done that week, and then that belt would come out off and that it was on then. Let me tell you something. It was a way of restoring order in the Bateman household. Can I tell you this morning, there's still a way to restore order in the United States of America, and that is for righteousness and truth to be preached and proclaimed, amen, from the pulpits. Great principles of truth and righteousness that uphold society or the foundations of the Word of God. Has anybody know the history of the United States of America? This nation was formed because people wanted the ability to serve God with freedom. Even in our Bill of Rights and in the Constitution, that was made a provision that we would have freedom of religion, to be able to serve God the way that we want to serve God. The founding fathers knew that in order to have a country, amen, that would grow prosperous and become the country that it has become, it must have a biblical foundation. And I'm here to tell you today, right now, that we're seeing the foundations wanting to be destroyed. And there is one hope for this nation, the way we're turning, and it is the church of the living God, and it is the resurrected Son of God, and it is the precious Holy Ghost of God. Somebody lift your hand and say, amen. It speaks of truth when it's no longer respected. This speaks of a time when the foundations are being destroyed, when justice is no longer being practiced. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Fraud and violence have replaced honesty and valor and honor. Integrity and virtue are not esteemed. I'm old enough to remember there was a time when the church and church folk and clergy were looked up to, not because we were any special than anybody else, but because we had principles. We were honest. We had integrity. We had values that the world didn't have. And now you can see that that's no longer the case, because the people of God are being mocked in a manner that is beyond anything that we've seen in our lifetime. And hang on, church, because it's going to get worse. It's the ridicule and the attacks are going to get worse. You can rest assured that the lives of the unborn now will be attacked in a more ferocious way than ever before. We've already seen an executive order. I didn't come to preach politics. I come to preach on a sure foundation. We've seen an executive order passed already that will let grown men participate in women's sports. We're going to see an order rescinded here that is called the Mexico City Law. And what that does is it prevents our nation from sending money to foreign nations so that they can produce and practice abortion. Come on here now. And the last administration enforced that, but the newest administration is going to let it go back on. And let me help me now. Help me, somebody, because I'm dumb as a red brick. Why do we need to be sending other nations money so that they can help them have abortions? Come on here now. When their foundations are being destroyed, come on here. What can the righteous do? I can tell you what we can do, Church of the Living God. It's just like we done a while ago. God is looking for a body of believers that will worship and praise Him and honor Him and get out of the way and say, look, we don't just have a program here. We've got a divine move and a manifestation and a demonstration of the power of God. There is a difference in that than just coming to church. 1 Timothy 3 and 15. See, truth's not respected anymore. Justice. I don't have time to go into all the justice. Let me tell you something. Justice can be perverted in America. Justice can be perverted in the courtrooms at every level. We have activist judges now that rule from the bench and give their own philosophy and their own intellect and their own outlook on things. And instead of interpreting the law, which what they should do, they legislate from the bench. And it doesn't matter whether it's truth or righteous or not. If it pushes forth this ideology, come on now, that the devil is behind. So if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I can tell you what we can do, church. We can pray like we've never prayed. Oh, here we go. Here's another sermon, another 5 minutes on prayer. Honey, I tell people, I do a call to prayer on Monday night. I tell people, if you've watched the video, I said, you need to pray. I said, pray for me because I need to pray and you need to practice. We need to pray, church. If we sit there, let me tell you something. If you saw a child out in the middle of the road, whether it was your child or another child, and you saw a truck barreling down the highway, somebody with the music loud and looking at their phone, and you saw them headed for that child, you would do everything in your power to rescue that child from the middle of that road. Somebody help me just a minute. You and I know we see what is going on in America. We see what is going on in the world. And we see the foundations trying to be undermined and destroyed, amen. And God is looking for a church that'll say, hey, I don't care. We don't know what other churches are going to do. But we're going to stand flat-footed here at Alley Good Church of God. And we're going to lift up a standard and proclaim the truth of God's word. Somebody help me a moment. Paul here speaking to a young Timothy, and I don't have time to go into all the background. These are the qualifications of elders. These are the qualifications of preachers and deacons, and he's talking about that's the context of it. But there's a particular principle here I want you to see. Paul said to Timothy, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. How many of you know there's a way to behave yourself in the house of God? There's a respect that deserves to be here. Not necessarily for me, but there should be some respect for your leadership. There should be a respect for when the word is being preached. There should be a respect, amen, for what we're trying to do. But there should be reverence and awe and respect and how to behave ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Look, you know, confession is good for the soul. I feel like taking off and running a while ago. You may not be a runner, a jumper, a hoop or a holler, but when God shows up like he does a while ago, do something to honor him. Don't check your phone. Children, listen, young people, listen to me, amen. God will speak to you and touch you right where you are in the midst of this. Let me tell you something. Even though I got out as far as I could in the world for a long time, I remember all of the times at that Williamson Church of God when the Holy Ghost would move. It would scare me to death just about as a young boy, but I knew it was real. And let me tell you something. I still know it's real. Somebody said, how do you know it's real, preacher? Because I can feel it right down in my soul. I can tell you, what we felt in this place a while ago was real. It was the power of God, amen. And the church, amen, is a representative of God on planet Earth. He said, by tarry long, I want you to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church. This word means the called out. That's what it means. It's not talking about just any church. It's talking about the church. How many of you know that there's a church that professes to be the church and confesses to be the church, but they ain't possessing what it takes to be the church? That's the day and age that we live in. Remember now, if the foundations be destroyed, there has been an attack on the church since this last century or a little further, that the fundamental doctrine, see, I preached this before, that 50 years ago, if I said something to make you mad, everybody happy? Well, good, great. Ain't nobody happy. But if I preach something to make you mad, you say, well, I'll leave. But chances were back then, anywhere you went, a Baptist, a Methodist, even a Presbyterian, Episcopalian, 100 years ago for sure, wherever you went, you were still going to hear the truth of God's word. But nowadays, honey, let me make you mad. You'll find somebody that you can go to and tell you how wonderful you are and how great you are, amen. But I thank God that I'm part of the true church, amen, not a part of the apostate, rebellious church. I'm part of a church, amen, that they'll still preach the truth and the Holy Ghost is free to move in our midst. He said, I want you to know that this is the church of the living God and it's the pillar and the ground of truth. Let me tell you something here tonight, this afternoon. The church, the true church, is the foundation of the truth of the gospel. You don't want a man up here, a woman, a teacher, a preacher telling you that you can live contrary to this word of God. See, the Bible says there, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous can have a foundation that cannot be moved. That we can stand on, we're on, listen, when this thing is over with, hear me now, when all this is over with, we'll be on the right side of history. When it's all said and done, we may suffer persecution. We may suffer ridicule. We may suffer the loss of our tax-exempt status. And there may be attacks that against the church like we never thought that we would see in America. But let me tell you something. When it's all said and done, we'll be on the right side of this thing, amen. Because the church, God is looking for the church, the true church, the pillar and the ground. We are the foundation. For the on planet Earth, will you say amen? See, the pulpits have gone. Everybody okay? It's just 10 after 12. Thank you, Brother Kenny. The pulpits have become silent. You say, well, they're preaching. No, they're not preaching truth. A lot of pulpits are not preaching truth. Can I help you here? And I'm not casting stone. Did anybody hear any false prophecies about Trump? About 100,000? I'm not casting stones. some of these men, when I respect what some of them done, some of them got up and they apologized and said they missed God. I said, well, you shouldn't have said it in the first place. Y'all, let me help you here. Because if God didn't say it, why are you saying it? I do appreciate them getting up and saying that. Some of them said, well, God changed his mind. And then some said, well, you know, I predicted he was going to be president, and then they stole it. That ain't what you said God told you. I'm meddling now. So if he comes back and wins 24, then that means your prophecy was right. No, you didn't say that. Come on here. I ain't got no help. My advice to them, sit down, shut up. Or preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Bateman, you've said things that, you know, my wife is perfect for telling. She's here today, so I'm picking on her. I don't have to, behind her back. She'll tell me, you shouldn't have said that in the pulpit. Well, it's too late, and I've gotten up and I have apologized. But I didn't say, thus saith the Lord. Because when I say, thus saith the Lord, I better be on solid footing. Come on here now. I'm not throwing stones, amen, these men and women that missed the mark, that repent and get right with God, but quit prophesying something. If God didn't ever say it, you don't say it, you don't have to apologize anymore. Get up and preach the truth of God's word. Declare what thus saith the word of God. Stay in the word. Y'all not as passionate about that as I am. See, that brings a reproach on the church. I said the pulpits have become silent from the truth of God's word. God help us. Y'all pray that I'll preach the truth of God's word. I'm not interested in these lame jokes I have. I'm not interested in the political commentary that I have. So I know I can't expect you to be interested. But let me tell you this. Let me preach. Let my lips be the lips as an oracle of God and proclaim the mighty deeds and the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of a soon coming King. Stand on that truth of God's word. See, the pulpit has to be the conscience of the nation, because the world's not going to tell us this. Government, business leaders, they don't speak for God. We do, the pillar and the ground of truth. Do you see how awesome this is? What a solemn, sacred obligation that the church has. We are the pillar and ground of truth. We are the conduit, the vessel that God has put on planet Earth. We are the full revelation of God's truth in the true church. Come on here. I don't want. Somebody said he stepped on my. Good. Good. If you're not living right, and you can come and sit under preaching of the truth of the word, or let me just. Don't even talk about the preaching this morning. If you can sit in the presence of God like we felt for about an hour in here, and it doesn't touch you and convict you, something is wrong with you. Dear Lord, I'm up here repenting over stuff I've not even done. Did anybody know where you feel how deep the presence of God was? Oh, God. Oh, God. What are we? Who are we, God, that you would come? Look, I've been in too many dead services. I've been in too many dead church. I've been in too many services, amen. I don't have another one to waste, amen. When I come to the house of the living God, the truth and the pillar and the foundation, I've come to magnify and to glorify him. We are to be a manifestation of the power of God on planet Earth. We are to be a representation of the church of God on planet Earth. We are to be a demonstration of the power of God on earth. I'm tired, and I thank God for every. Listen, I'm a history buff. I love to study the history of the church and the great revivals. But I don't know about you. I'm tired of reading about revival, hearing about what they used to do, hearing about what Granny Grunt used to do 50 years ago. We are the church, the pillar of the ground. It's our time. It's time for revival. It's time for an awakening. It's time for a Holy Ghost move. Amen. Where devils are cast out, the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised. Somebody lift your hand and bless the Lord. It's our time. We are the ground and the pillar. The church is a body of believers. So individually and collectively, we are the spiritual pillars in a crumbling world. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little concerned about what's going on. When I look around me, that's why I wanted to sing that song. She was playing it. Well, I said, we're going to have to sing Sheltered in the Arms of God. I have sang that song at many a funeral, and people asked me to go sing and Kim to play, and I don't know, I guess they couldn't get nobody better to sing. I love to sing about being sheltered in the arms of God. I look around me and I read this article and I look at this television show and I read behind this man or that woman and that great intellectual mind and great thinker, and I thought, oh God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I think about when my baby's asleep at night and I go in there and look on her, at her when she's laying on the bed, and thinking, oh God, what kind of life is she going to have 20 years from now, 40 years from now, if the Lord were to tarry, amen. But I'm just reminded, amen, that I'm on that solid rock. Brother Ben, it's so good to see you, amen. But I just want to tell you something this morning. I give her to God when she was born. We brought her down to the altar. Come on here now. We lifted her up and we dedicated her to God. It's not in my hands. It's in the Lord's hands. And about 50-some years ago, amen, my mama and daddy walked down to the front of the Williamson Church of God, took that beautiful baby boy, that was me by the way, lifted me up. Come on here now. That preacher took me and lifted me up. I don't remember nothing about it. And they dedicated me to the Lord. I am the Lord's. It's in Him that I live and I move. Amen. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I serve Him. Hey, I was born in a fire. I'm going to keep going in the fire. And when I go out of here, I'm going to go in a blaze of glory, because Jesus is my rock. He's the sure foundation. I got a few more things and we'll close. Paul tells the church we are the pillars. We're the ones that support. We hold up God's truth. We do. I don't know about you. That's an awesome responsibility. Brother Chris, you're a preacher. Brother Ben, I don't want to miss none of my preacher words. Sister Elizabeth, Brother Dennis, Barbara. If I missed any more preachers, I don't want to miss nobody. What an awesome responsibility, men and women of God, that we have. That God put this upon us, that you and I are the ones that He calls us pillars and the ground of truth. This world is crumbling around us. Anybody ever heard that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free? Come on here. And whom the Son set free is free indeed. This world needs to hear the gospel to a lost and a dying world. Come on, musicians, come on back. I preached at a number of black churches over the years, and they don't even give me the pulpit till 12 o'clock. And they get mad if I quit before 1. Somebody call Ribeyes and see if they're still open. Church, we stand against error. We stand against false teaching, false prophesying. Let me tell you something. Doctrine, biblical, the apostles' doctrine, is not popular. I appreciate you supporting me and backing me up in this sermon, because this sermon don't preach everywhere. It does not. People don't want to hear this. I'm going to tell you something, and I'll close with this. If we don't stand and be the pillars, I've got a lot more, but I'm going to stop. If we don't stand and be the pillars and the ground and the foundation of this church, collectively and individually, we are responsible for this. If we don't do what God has called to do, we really forfeit our reason even to exist as a church. Do you know there's a church not even 5 miles from here that split because half of them support gay marriage and the other half don't? 5 miles from here, you cease to be in a true church. Now, don't be sitting here thinking about who. It's not important. That's a tragedy. We are the pillars and ground of truth. God's called us to stand. We're not the source of truth. Christ is the source. Now, I'm going to preach whether it makes folks mad or not, as long as I'm preaching the truth. If I get out of the truth, I got men. Go ahead and give the Lord praise.
Go ahead,
and I'm telling you, I love y'all enough that if I get out of line, y'all come sit me down and tell me you're out of line. I'll take it. I said it publicly. Don't post this on the internet. Amen. If we abandon biblical truth, we cease to have a reason to exist. Would you stand? We must remain committed to truth and righteousness.